You know, there's an old saying, it's good to talk about something before it's a problem. Or it's good to talk about something when it's not a problem. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to talk about coming to the assembly prepared and ready to worship God. And I do not believe this is a problem today. And I do not believe this is a problem with this congregation. But as I travel around from place to place, it is a problem in other places. And so I want to talk about this morning. And this will help us to think about it and to ensure that it does not become a problem as we assemble here to worship God. This morning, if you'll be turning your Bibles to John chapter 4, John chapter 4, I want to begin this morning by making the point that you and I have a responsibility to God, and that is to worship. You'll notice if you're using your pew Bible this morning that the page number is up on the PowerPoint for you to help you find these scriptures this morning. In John chapter 4, you'll remember that Jesus went through Samaria on his way to Nazareth. And there he stopped at a well, and a woman there came to draw water, and he spoke with this woman. And he talked about living water, and that is salvation, springing up into eternal life. Now, beginning in verse 23, follow along with me this morning in your Bible. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. Very quickly, I want you to notice a couple of things from this passage. First of all, in verse 23, God wants our worship. Sometimes the question is asked, what does God want from me? To fear God and keep His commandments, yes, that is an answer, but also He wants our worship. To make obeisance to Him, to respect Him, to admire Him, to worship Him. God is seeking true worshipers to worship Him. And verse 24, we must worship in spirit and in truth. In this lesson, I'm not really concentrating that much on truth. John 17:17, Jesus tells us that God's Word is truth. And I'm not really concentrating on that part of worship today. I want to concentrate on worshiping in spirit. Turn your Bibles this morning with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The brethren in Corinth had a lot of problems that they were dealing with. There was disorder in the congregation, chapter 1. There was immorality in the congregation, chapter 5. And one even had his father's wife. There was disorder in partaking of the Lord's Supper. Some were drunk. Some were partaking of it before others. And there were all sorts of problems. And there were behavior problems also in the congregation. In chapter 14, we see that perhaps even some of the women would question the men as they were standing and prophesying. And the word question there is more to interrogate. It would be as if one of the women stood up in this assembly and began to interrogate me by asking me questions, totally interrupting what we're doing here today. Of course, that's inappropriate. But I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says in verse 40. But all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. The way that we do things, the orderly way in which we do things, as the elders and the congregation has made decisions on certain things to be done at certain times. That when the one comes forward to begin our service, we are all in our seats and we are all quiet and we are all respectful. These are all very important things. Our responsibility and your responsibility in the service as we assemble together to worship and for Bible class as we assemble together Your responsibility is to worship in spirit, and this means to worship with your mind. It is to put your mind and to concentrate upon the things which we are doing. And that's why it is important, as I talk with our children and even some of the other children here, young people, it's important not to be doing other things. I know the little kids need to be occupied with other things, and that's important for them. But at an age, a young person grows up to the point where they do not need to be preoccupied with toys and dolls and coloring books, but to be paying attention to what we are doing. That is all of our responsibility in worshiping in our spirits. When we pray, it is to be concentrating on the prayer. When we study God's Word, it is to be studying along and turning to the passages. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, it is to be thinking about those things and our Savior Jesus Christ, and to have the correct attitude as we make a contribution on the first day of the week. Here's a saying for you. You only get out of something what you put into it. And you've heard that, I'm sure, quite often. We can come here and we can assemble together as Christians, and we can just sit here without our mind truly being into what we are doing and leave here for the worse instead of the better. And it all has to do with our attitude at that point. If everything would be the same, our prayers and observing the Lord's Supper and the contribution and our singing and the lesson and all of this, all things being equal, we can come in here and be half asleep and not be paying attention to what we're doing, and we can leave this place not having been edified and encouraged and uplifted, but for the worse, because we have committed a sin. Because we have come in here half asleep. And I understand there are times when it is difficult to stay awake. I understand when someone had to work all night long and has not had any sleep and not had a nap, and it's better that they are here. I understand that medications make us drowsy. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about the things that we can do something about. We can come in here and we can be half asleep and not participate with our minds in the service, and it is a sin. Sometimes we don't think about it that way. It is a sin because God wants people to worship in spirit and in truth, and we have not come together to do that, and that is a sin. In our worship, to worship in spirit and in truth, we must maintain the proper behavior and conduct ourselves in an orderly manner. As a parent, sometimes I go to an assembly at school, and the kids will have something going on. And this has been my experience. Some brethren and some congregations come together, and the people there act more disrespectful than an assembly of middle school children. The assembly of middle school children, the people who are in charge, instruct the children that it's time to sit down, it's time to be quiet, it's time to be respectful. And I don't know about here so much, because it's been a while since I lived in Florida, but living in South Georgia, if a young man had on a hat, that hat came off. I know one brother who respectfully asked a young person some years ago to take his hat off during the assembly. And some within the congregation had a very hard time with that. You know, we don't ask young people to take off their hats in the assembly. In other words, what they're saying is, we let young people do whatever they want, whatever they feel like doing, and we don't treat them how to be respectful when they come together for an assembly. And I totally disagree with that. Sometimes, it's been my experience, brethren come together and assemble for worship, and it's more disrespectful than going to the movie theater. By the way, people act and conduct themselves. And the lack of preparation even to come. We'll talk about some of those things a little bit later in the lesson. Total lack of preparation to come. Just sort of come and not think about it and just wander in and not even thinking about what is going to be occurring and all these types of things. To worship in spirit, we must maintain a proper behavior and attitude in the things that we do. And I've got to stop and make this remark. The first time my parents visited here, my dad made the remark of how respectful and well-behaved the young people were. And young folks, I got to just take a moment and talk about this for a second. I remember growing up as a young person, you think, well, what I do doesn't really matter and it doesn't really count. Well, that's quite the opposite. Because young folks, people pay attention to you and they look at you. And other young people who may be visiting, I was told this story not too long ago. There was a mother with a couple of young children visited a congregation. And after the service, the young people made friends immediately with this lady's children, took the children to meet their Bible class teacher, and took the children to see their Bible class, where the room was, and all of this. And guess what? That family goes to that church to this day. And what was the main influence in making that decision? It was the young people going to church there. That was the main influence in making that decision. So young folks, what I'm telling you is the way you behave, the things that you do, the way that you act here and everywhere else has a huge impact on who we are and what we can do as a congregation. This is very important. To worship in spirit, we must maintain the correct behavior and the right attitude. We must be prepared. Turn your Bibles this morning with me over to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. If I were to ask you, what is a big part of the book of Exodus all about? Well, you may say that it's about the Exodus from Egypt. And I would not disagree with that. But let me tell you something else that a big part of Exodus is all about. Just a little over one-fourth, as I calculated, is over preparing to worship God with the tabernacle. One-fourth. A little over 10 chapters of the 40 chapters in Exodus. Just over one-fourth, just on preparation to worship God. You remember in Exodus 19, 1 through 9, God is speaking with the children of Israel. God makes a commitment to them if they'll make a commitment to Him, to obey Him and follow after His ways. And of course, they agree to that. In verses 10 and 11, I want you to notice, as God is going to come and He's going to visit the children of Israel, the Lord also said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments." Now this tells us something about assembling for worship. God was coming to them and God was going to be in their presence in the smoke upon the mountain. And God is in our presence today. Jesus Christ is in our presence today as we have come together to worship Him. And it is important. I'm not saying we all need to go out and buy some fancy tuxedo and all the ladies need to have these big fancy dresses. And all of these things, I'm not saying that at all. But it is important that we put forth, if at all possible, and I know it's possible. In Thomasville, when we worked with a brethren there, a lady called up one time on the telephone and she wanted a church dress, something to wear to church. Says, "I don't have anything to wear to church. I need something to wear to church." And so I began to talk to her a little bit. I said, "Well, do you have something you can wear this Sunday?" "Well, yes, I have something I can wear this Sunday." "Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll pick you up for church, and you come to church with us on Sunday, and we'll see how it goes from there." Well, as it all came out and worked out, that the lady who had called was very challenged in the way that she thought, in her thinking. And she was in a group home that serviced folks who were had difficulty thinking for themselves and doing everything for themselves. And before long, she had a friend that came and another friend that came and another friend that came. And before long, we had a whole section of folks from various communities where they needed this help. And they would come to church. And I know for a fact that all of us, no matter who we are, no matter even the challenges that we have, that we can wear something clean to assemble with God's people for worship. And this is exactly what God tells Moses to do, that they are to consecrate themselves and that they are to even wash their garments. You see, it is important that we prepare, that we take consideration of what we are doing, that we just do not, unless it's just a situation we can't avoid, and sometimes there are situations we can't avoid. You know, I tell people if things just work out the way that it worked out and you can't do anything about it, just come as you are. You know, been out working and you're just dirty and sweaty, don't have time to get home and change, just come on as you are. But if we can do something, we have a choice about that. We need to consider what we're doing, what we're coming for, that God is going to be in our presence, that we're going to be worshiping God. And it is important that we prepare, that we wash our clothes in advance so that we have something clean. You say, Alan, that's just ridiculous. I say, well, I know it's ridiculous, but it just shows us that it's important to do that. And so the children of Israel did this, and they prepared for 3 days. For 3 days. They prepared 3 days to meet the Lord. Continue on with me in chapter 20. As Moses gave the Ten Commandments to the people. And then in verses 18 through 20, I want you to notice their reaction. Verses 18 through 20. Here the Lord has come to them, and there's thunderings and lightning and smoke and... And all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Now, you know what? God is with us this morning just as much. One may even could argue because of the blood of Christ and the New Testament church. He's with us even more today than them. More today with us. But when we come together... Assemble as a church to worship God in the way that He wants to be worshipped. As Jesus tells the Samaritan woman at the well that God is seeking for true worshipers to worship Him, and we come to assemble with the saints, what is our attitude? Is it one of don't really care? Is it one of being lackadaisical or apathetic? Is it one of just saying, well, you know, here we go again, I got to do this again, well, I'm going to do that, but what I'm really waiting for is what I'm going to do this afternoon, or what I'm waiting for maybe the ball game that's on tonight. Now, I'll get excited about that. But do we have the same reaction as the children of Israel? They understood God was there, and they were struck with fear and with reverence. So much so, they told Moses, look, Moses, you go talk to God. You just come back and tell us what He said. We can't even stand to be in His presence. What's our attitude? When we are preparing to come to worship God, when we are in the assembly and we're worshiping God, do we have this attitude of reverence, of godly fear? Or do we just come in just haphazardly? Just as if we were going maybe to a high school football game or something. Just on the same. Or maybe just like going to a movie, decide the last minute to go to a movie, and you just go to a movie. You know, is that our attitude when we come to worship God? Or is it something different than that? Turn your Bibles with me over to further in the book of Exodus. To Exodus chapter 40, and here they spend a great deal of time, and they are preparing to worship God, and they construct the tabernacle and all the furnishings, and the priests had to have special garments, you know, so they had to make all of these things. And then chapter 40 and verse 16, thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. You read through the book of Exodus, and you read about Moses talking to God, and you read about the children of Israel in the presence of God and worshiping God and all that they did. And you come away with one idea, one thought, and that is those people were very reverent. They understood. The children of Israel understood. Yeah, they had made big mistakes with the golden calf and trying to worship God through this calf, made huge mistakes. But they saw or perceived that God was in the lightning and the flashes and the smoke, and their whole attitude became that of reverence and fear. And that should be our attitude also. We're here for something special. We're not here for something just very mundane. We're here for something special, and that needs to be our attitude. Turn your Bibles this morning with me to Matthew chapter 22. I want to continue talking about preparation this morning. And here is the parable of the wedding feast. And you'll remember as this parable goes that there was a king, and he sent out his slaves, verse 3, to call all those he had invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. And so sort of picture maybe Saddam Hussein, who's in the news nowadays. And picture him giving a great wedding feast. And picture him inviting all of these people, all of these dignitaries. And all these dignitaries then are said, hey, now it's time to come to the wedding feast. And they say, well, you know, we're not going to come to that. What would he go out and do? He would go out and do exactly what this king went out to do. Again, he sent out other slaves saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way. One to his own farm, another to his business. The rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Didn't like it too much. God has called us. Remember John 4. God is seeking true worshipers and He has called us to worship. We know this, that if we do not prepare ourselves to worship, if we do not come, we'll see just in a moment later, with our wedding garment on, He's going to have one reaction to that, and it's not going to be a good one. It's not going to be a good one. If we come in here not prepared, Bible classes haven't prepared for those. Teachers haven't prepared for those. We just come in here half asleep and just sort of go through the motions. We know what God's response is to that. God's not looking down. He's not happy. He's not pleased. He doesn't consider it to be some joke. He doesn't take it just half-heartedly. He's very angry about that. Verse 8. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called. God calls all to salvation, the kingdom of Christ. God calls all to come and worship. Yes, some try to just slip in. Some try to slip in without the wedding clothes, the wedding garments on, without doing what? Making preparation. This one did not bother to get the proper dress. This one did not bother to make the preparation to go to this wedding feast. And he tried to just slip in, just sort of doing maybe a little bit what was supposed to be done, not doing all that was supposed to be done. Thought he could just get by with not even doing the very minimum, and there is no getting by. I want to tell you something. When Judgment Day comes, we could have filled up this church building and been here every time the doors were open. But if we're not prepared, if our heart is not into it, if we're not acting the way we ought to act, if we don't have the right attitude, next week, Lord willing, I'm going to talk about having the right frame of mind before and during. Having the right frame of mind to worship God and come to assemble. I understand we worship God in everything that we do, every minute of every day. I'm talking about here, our assembly here. We can fill up these pews and we can be here and we can go through the motions, and we're going to be very disappointed come Judgment Day because we haven't worshiped in spirit. We hadn't put our mind to it. We hadn't prepared ourselves. We just went in just like it was just any old everyday thing, not as to what it truly is, worshiping God. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins, and Andrew read this for us already today. And what is this parable all about? This parable is all about preparation. And that's what Jesus is teaching them in this part of Matthew as it is recording here. Jesus is teaching about preparation. You do not know the day or the hour that the Son of Man is coming. You don't know. So what is the point? Be prepared. That is a basic principle of Christianity. Be prepared. Be prepared for the Lord to come. Be prepared for the Lord to come before we even get done with this service. We're going to sing the song, Prepare to Meet Your God. We're going to offer the invitation. That invitation may not come. It may not come. We need to be prepared. We need to stay prepared. If we're prepared to meet our God, we're going to be prepared to worship. And you remember how it goes. There was 10 virgins. 5 were prepared and 5 were not prepared. What was the difference between those who were rewarded and those who were not rewarded? What was the difference? Preparation. What's going to be the difference for those who come to Judgment Day? That's a little bit later in Matthew chapter 25. Come to Judgment Day and they receive the reward of their Father. What's going to be the difference between those who receive the reward and those who are cast in everlasting hell? It's going to be preparation. Preparation for eternity. And part of that is preparation for worship, that we worship God in spirit and in truth. There are some sayings that bring this out. Preparation is the key to success. We know as people that we will fail without preparation. Here's another one for you. The number one reason for failure is the lack of preparation. In other words, it is laziness. Let me suggest this to you. If we assemble together as God's people and we are not prepared, if we're not prepared as Bible teachers and we're not prepared as Bible students and we're not prepared as song leaders and leaders of prayers and evangelists and elders and all of this, there's one reason for it. Laziness. Laziness. That's the reason for it. I'm speaking in general terms. I know that things happen and accidents happen. I understand that and the Lord understands that. I'm just talking about in general terms. Laziness. You know, just like you, I travel from place to place and visit with church to church. And I drive past some congregations as I may be traveling from here to there on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. You know how you tell a good congregation from one that's not so good? How early the people are to that assembly. And I know things happen. I know that's the reason people are late. I was late getting into the auditorium this morning, or I would have turned off the PowerPoint so it wasn't going during announcements. I apologize for that. I understand things happen that we're late. But it shows something about the people. It shows something about the people. When I'm visiting, you know what I hate more than anything? Being the first one there. Has that happened to everybody? I hate that more than anything. I'll tell you what I love more than anything is when I'm 30 minutes early and I'm not the first one there. That tells me something about that group of folks because folks are there, they're getting ready, they're prepared, Bible class teachers are prepared. It tells us something about that group of people. I'll tell you another way to tell a good congregation from one that's not so good. Walk into the building and just look around. Are things disorderly? Is there trash and stuff laying on the floor? Is there little pieces of paper everywhere? And believe me, I'm on mine all the time. Pick up after yourself because paper gets over there, believe me. You know, you see, you go in and the bathroom smell, you know. And I understand accidents happen. There's some reasons for that sometimes. But I'm just talking about in general terms. That shows what? Laziness. So you can tell that. It's immediately noticeable. And again, I'll say this. I'm glad I'm talking about this morning, because we don't have a problem here this morning. And this is the time to be talking about these things. Here's another saying for you. Without preparation, the smartest man in the world is stupid. The smartest man in the world is stupid without preparation. One more for you. Illustration of a book. Title of the book is The 100 Absolute Unbreakable Laws of Business by Brian Tracy. Law number 14, the law of preparation. The subtitle of this chapter is Effective Performance is Preceded by Painstaking Preparation. Now, what's my point in going through all of this? We as people understand how important it is to prepare. We as business people understand that without preparation, we're going to go broke, we're going to lose our business, and we're going to lose our entire livelihood. The same thing is applicable with our souls. Without preparation with our soul and doing the things that we need to do and be careful that we do the right things that God wants us to do, we're going to lose our soul. And the same thing's true with worship. If we're not diligent and we're not careful, and if we do not work very hard at when we assemble together for our worship and for our Bible classes, before you know it, we will not be worshiping in spirit. And very long after that, we certainly will not be worshiping in truth. Well, I have some suggestions this morning, just some things I've thought about. Because all of us struggle with this. What are some things we can do to prepare? Let me suggest to you that days before we can do some things. We can prepare for Bible class. And I'll admit to you right now, And I hope as we get into a new curriculum with our Bible studies in January, we're all together, it's going to help my family do this. We wait till pretty late on Saturday to start getting on the Bible classes for the kids. And that should not be. That should not be. We should be working on that earlier in the week. And sometimes I ask them on Saturday, you done with the Bible class? Yeah, they're done with the Bible class. Sometimes I ask and they're not. And we need to be working on that. We need to be prepared for Bible class. And as Bible teachers, we need to be prepared. Not wait till the last minute, but be prepared. We need to be careful to get enough rest. And I know this is hard to do. I've got to tell this story. Pam told me this yesterday. I said this is a perfect example. She hadn't seen one of her camp friends. I don't even remember his name. But saw him yesterday. She went to take the SAT at a high school. And he was there. And so they sort of had this little reunion and everything. And so they were going to the movies last night, and he wanted to go to the movies too. And the movie was a little bit late, and I said, well, you know, that's a little bit late, but that's not too terribly late. So I said, you can go. Well, they get a hold of their friend, and their friend says, I can't go. Says, I'm leading singing tomorrow morning. Goes to Temple Terrace congregation. I'm leading singing tomorrow morning, and my dad wants me to be in before such and such time. I said, well, either that is fantastic. To realize that I am conducting or leading the congregation in worship, therefore, that's different. That's a little different. Maybe if I wasn't doing that, maybe staying out another 30 minutes, I was going to let mine stay out another 30 minutes, wouldn't be that big a deal. But you have, young man, a special responsibility Sunday morning, and you need that little bit of extra rest. I thought that's a fantastic lesson to teach that young man, and also mine also. The evening before, some things I thought about. Make sure everything is ready. And this occasion, I know accidents happen, but you know this occasionally happens to us also. And I've been thinking about this. We need not wait till a few minutes to run out the door to make sure we have everything. We can do that the night before to make sure that we have everything. Make sure we know where everything is that we need, to make sure that we have the clothes that we're going to wear, that there's no problem there, and there usually isn't because Beth does a fantastic job, but when she's not there, we struggle with it a little bit more. We need to make sure the evening before we're ready to go. Get to bed early. And I know this is hard to do. And with our kids, you know, I let them stay up Friday night, maybe. Saturday, probably not as much. And I know there's not school tomorrow, but there's something more important than school, and that is church. And so, getting to bed early is what? More important on Saturday than even on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because something more important. And we do meet a little early. We meet at 9 o'clock, you know. And some congregations at 10 o'clock. I know that. And I like the early time myself. But it's important for us to get in bed on time so that we don't come in half asleep. And if we come in half asleep, that is going to be a sin for us because we've not worshiped our Lord in spirit. Get to bed early. Families with young children, I know how hard this is. I think people used to think we were a little crazy because people would like to do things on Saturday night. And I say, you know what? My kids have to be in bed by 8 o'clock. You know, the little guys, you know. So they got to be in bed at 8 o'clock. I mean, we can't stay out, you know, going and doing things to 10 o'clock, 10:30, or whatever it is. And it really cramped our social schedule. I know that. People will say, you know, can y'all go do so-and-so Saturday night? I said, no, our kids are going to be in bed. So I know it's hard with young families. And you just sort of got to sacrifice. But we need to do it. The lesson we're teaching our children to get in bed and to be rested and to get up the next morning is much more important. The morning of, and I'm talking here with this illustration, of course, just Sunday morning, not Sunday night and not Wednesday night. Get up early. Get up early. You know, we could all maybe get up at, I know for sure, Dawn could get up at 8 o'clock and walk out the door at 8:30 and we'll be here. You know, she can do that. And she wanted to do that this morning. Sorry, kids, I got to tell the bad with the good. She wanted to do that this morning. And I said, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to get up at the last minute, be half asleep when you go to your Bible class. You're not going to do it. And so we have to get up a little early. Don't get up at the last minute. And there's some things that we can do. Did you pray this morning about your assembly and your worship to God? Did you pray about the church? Did you pray about the congregation? Did you pray about your brethren this morning? Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, consider one another. Did you do that? Did you consider one another? What are the special things? Just perhaps the special little word I can mention to brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. What's the one special little thing I can do for three or four people that really need something special? And maybe have been sick and need to be uplifted. Maybe been going through some difficulties you know about, that you want to make sure that you greet them and you speak to them for just a minute and do something special for them. Arrive early. We already talked about that a little bit. And I understand things happen. I understand. I tell this one on Beth. I don't tell any on me, you know. I tell them on Beth and the kids. She was world famous for being late before we got married. And I know where she gets it from. But when we got married, that changed a little bit. When I'm not around, y'all notice she'll be just a little bit later than when I'm here. Y'all do notice we come in two cars, don't you? And she's got a lot more to do in the mornings than we do. I understand that. And she gets us all going and up and all that. So I'm out a little bit earlier. But be here early. Be here early so that you are able to greet one another, so that you're able to do those special things, so that, and I understand things happen. I understand that. So that you're there in time for your Bible class. And I understand there's reasons for being late sometimes. I understand there's things we just can't help it sometimes. Believe me, it happens to all of us. I'll tell you this one on me. We were in Thomasville, hadn't been there very long. And it was getting about time to set our clocks. I guess it must have been back. And so all of a sudden, we're just sitting around the house. We're waiting for time to leave the church. I get a phone call from one of the brothers there from the church building. Says, are you coming to church today? We had set the clocks back on the wrong week. We were sitting there just waiting to go to church. I said, what are you talking about? And so we were very late that day. I understand things can happen about being late. But understand, if you can be here early, if you're not walking in late, understand what it does when you are late. And again, if you're going to be late, it's better to be here and be late than not be here at all. But if we can get out the door, maybe even 5 minutes or 10 minutes earlier, it makes a big difference. Number one, the class isn't interrupted when you walk into the class. They already started. Maybe they're in the middle of the prayer, and you don't know they're in a prayer. You can't see in there. The door's shut. You walk in and you disturb the prayer. I walked in late to the assembly. I come walking all the way down to the front, took my seat, and Gary was already going on announcements. I'm sorry for that. I didn't mean for that to happen. That's a distraction. Here we are trying to get our minds together and our thoughts together, and I come walking down the middle of the aisle to take my seat, and I'm sorry because I know I distracted every one of you, because here you're looking at me walking down here instead of paying attention to Gary up here. And that was a distraction. Be here early. Be ready early so that you are ready and worshiping in spirit from the very first moment, not 5 minutes into it. From the very first moment. When you arrive, be prepared. Enter prepared. Enter prepared. Perhaps you want to get the bulletin. You want to maybe not read the article. You want to just look at the back and catch up on the prayer list. And that's printed. There's some other things that with announcements that will be announced that I didn't know about when I put that on there, but read about that. Think about those things. Start getting your mind tuned into the things that we're doing together. So be here early. Enter prepared. When I was in management, I knew this, that if I did not enter the workplace prepared, fired up, 100%, ready to go, I knew what was going to happen that day. I was going to get killed. I was going to get run over with a Mack truck because I was not ready. I was not proactive. I was on the defense rather than the offense. And so I knew I was going to get killed that day because I did not enter prepared for that day. Be prepared. Greet and encourage one another. Take your seat a little early. Again, I apologize. I didn't do that. I didn't have my schedule worked out this morning. Take your seat a little early. Maybe pray. Maybe meditate. Be ready to go. Don't waste the first few minutes of class. Or our assembly. Don't waste it. You need it, and everyone around you needs it also. So we can all improve. We can all do things in our life that helps us to worship better, to be more in tune spiritually with the things that we do, to worship in spirit and in truth. Some of the things we've talked about, perhaps those are applicable to you today, but I hope, nevertheless, that you've been thinking about yourself and perhaps thinking about your family and thinking of things that you can do. Perhaps there are things you've been thinking about and you already know it, just like me. I know that some in our family need to get up a little bit earlier. I know that. And we need to be doing that. Perhaps there's things also you know that you can do and your family can do so that when we come together as a group of Christians to worship in spirit and in truth, that we truly have our hearts and our minds into everything that we do. If we do, certainly God will be well pleased with us. We're going to sing a song to offer the invitation, number 297, Prepare to Meet Your God. And that's really what we're talking about today. Not been talking about the things that we do when we come together necessarily. We've not been talking about the Lord's Supper and how to partake of that. We've not been talking about the mechanics of prayer and things such as that. We've been just talking about being prepared. And when we come together, be prepared, stay prepared, put all of our heart into these things. We also have to be prepared for eternity. Because all of us one day will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for the things which we've done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And we all must give an account for these things. Have you thought about what you'll say to the Lord one day when you're judged? Are you prepared? Do you know what your answer will be?